One, two, three. Good love. Good love.
Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of Global Gaming Business, and this week we speak with Mitchell Ettis, the chief executive officer of the Mohegan Tribal Gaming Authority, on where the tribe is going in both the Indian and the commercial gaming industry. Earlier this year, Mitchell Grossinger Ettis transitioned from his dual roles as Chief Executive Officer of the Mohegan Tribal Gaming Authority and President and CEO of the Mohegan Sun Resort in Connecticut to focus solely on his duties as head of the Gaming Authority. After ceding his role at Mohegan Sun to Jeff Hartman, Ettis is now focusing on expanding the reach of the MTGA with new properties. Those properties include a potential Mohegan Sun in Massachusetts, a management contract in Oregon, and Mohegan Sun Concord at the historic Concord Hotel that was the main Catskills competitor of Grossinger's, the family business of Mitchell Ettis. He spoke with Global Gaming Business editor Frank Legato at the East Coast Gaming Congress in May.
Mitchell Ettis, thank you for being with us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast today. I would like to start out with just your new job as head of the tribal authority.
Sure.
What's different now? What are your responsibilities now that you didn't have before?
Well, really, it's more of a reorganization than a new job. For the last 5 years, really 4.5 years before we made the change, I had been both the CEO of the MTGA, mm-hmm. as well as the CEO and the GM, for lack of a better term, of Mohegan Sun. And it became clear after a while that in order to really take the company forward, to do what we need to do, that probably wasn't going to be a good structure anymore. So I went to the tribe and I said, you know, I think this would be better. They were very supportive. They worked through with me setting up a good structure. And beginning January 1st, I became the true corporate CEO, only, heading up the Gaming Authority. Jeff Hartman, who Jeff and I worked together for 14 years, took over as president of the Mohegan Sun. I have Bobby Soper down running Pocono Downs, reporting to me. I established a new group called Mohegan Gaming Advisors, mm-hmm. and Gary Van Hedega, who an industry veteran, had been working with us up Mohegan Sun as CFO for 3 years, is the president of that group now. And we're using that structure to really move things forward and try to focus on more of a strategy program. It's worked out very well so far, mm-hmm. Working on a lot of great things, and I feel that it was really the right time for this.
Now, that strategy still includes expansion of the tribe's gaming operations. Most recently, there is an agreement with the Concord Hotel in the Catskills.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that first?
Sure. Well, we've reached an agreement with the Concord Associates to be the manager and help develop the Mohegan Sun of the Concord. As you know, the Concord is one of the great resorts in the Catskills, Grossinger's and the Concord. Interestingly, my family owned Grossinger's. It's somewhat funny because it's kind of like our rival back in the day. But Mr. Capelli, Lou Capelli, owns both properties. The Concord, a lot of work has begun on it. It's had a few stops and starts. We believe the time is right. We believe we are going to have the regulatory approvals needed. Mm-hmm. And we'll be developing a casino resort and racetrack there with the 8th Harness license in New York.
Now, is there a racino license available in New York?
Yes, we believe that we have that license and it will be given to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is kind of like going home for you, going back to the Catskills.
Yes, and it's really really important for the Catskills. You know, those people who are familiar with that area, who grew up there, who went back there, who vacationed there and go there now, know how distressed it is. There's been really nothing that has developed there in a real long time in terms of jobs and infrastructure. They've done a great job with a place called Bethel Woods, which is an amphitheater on the side of the original Woodstock. But this is a $600 million project. This is immediate jobs, immediate development. We think it's going to spur the economy of that region, and it will be something that everybody can be proud of. So it means a little more to me, not just having a deal for my company, but to be able to have a deal that's going to have such a positive impact like that will is really rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's been 15 years in coming, at least from what I can tell, for a casino. In the Catskills, what has been the obstacles and what are the obstacles that have come up in the past that you don't have now?
Well, I mean, there have been several iterations of the history of the Concorde, and Mr. Capelli is better to talk about them. But you know, various things from 9/11 to a failure of a major bank to Mr. Capelli having severe health issues, and he's better now, all have kind of been responsible for those starts and stops. Everybody who knows anything about New York knows that in order to have commercial gaming someplace, we'd have to have a law. You have to have the same law passed by two separately elected houses of the legislation, of the legislator. Then you need to have a public referendum. My brother was lobbying to get casino gambling in the Catskills before there was an Atlantic City gambling mega. It's been a long time. So I think that Mr. Capelli having the land, having it in a position where it is right now, having the capital markets being receptive, having the tax rate that he has negotiated based on the investment, means this will be a very, very, very great project.
Mm-hmm.
One we're proud to have our name on.
Now, your other project is in Massachusetts. There's a bill for a casino near the western border, commercial mm-hmm. venture. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, obviously there's no gaming law yet in
right.
Massachusetts. You know, we were very certain that there would be a law that would be passed that was going to be passed last July. It didn't happen. We believe it's ultimately going to be. We don't know what shape that form will take. We believe that really to maximize the benefit to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, there should be a Western Massachusetts destination. Mm-hmm. We believe we have the best site in Western Massachusetts for a development. It's right off Exit 8 on the Mass Pike. We have a community that wants us, that's supportive of the project. We have a great workforce. We have an area that, again, like the Catskills, needs jobs, needs stimulation. We think we have the best brand in gaming in the Northeast, and it, again, seems like a very logical extension of Mohegan Sun. So we've been very cautious in Massachusetts not to get ahead of the process.
Mm-hmm.
We provide information when requested, but our statement all along has always been when Massachusetts is ready, we'll be ready. And that's what we're hoping to do. We have one other thing, which is an Indian gaming project we've been involved with for about 7 years now, which is for the Cowlitz tribe, which is a tribe, a federally recognized tribe, a landless out in Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a piece of land that we purchased for them that has now been put into trust and put into the public register for them to do gaming on. It's about 15 to 17 miles outside of Portland, Oregon, a Nerf ball throw off the highway. So we're really excited about that. We're really excited for the Cowlitz tribe to be able to provide this sort of economic benefit to its tribal members. And that's something we've been working on for a long time. We'll be the developer as well as the manager of that project for them under the Indian gaming law. So we do have a lot of things in the process. And with the formation of this new group, Mohegan Gaming Advisors, and actually some outward marketing, you know, we're getting some inward-bound and outbound inquiries. So we're really excited to be expanding our operation, our brand.
Now, your home Connecticut market,
mm-hmm.
Has that started a rebound yet?
Well, you know, it in some respects it has. I think things are more vibrant. Obviously, all the competitive juices are still there. Twin River, Empire, Foxes, Mohegan Sun, those are four pretty big operations out there kind of competing with each other. But we're feeling it coming back a little bit. We're feeling much more so in table games
mm-hmm.
Where there is less of a competitive factor, except Pennsylvania certainly has taken some of the table games because of Atlantic City, and that makes things more competitive. But what we have right, you know, we've right-sized our operation in terms of expenses. We're still maintaining quality operation, and Mohegan Sun is performing very, very well right now. So when you add that and Pocono Downs, we think kind of the state of MTJ is good.
Now, have you gotten far enough along in the process that you've looked at things like how you would cross-market a Massachusetts property with a Connecticut property?
Yes, and New York as well. And frankly, you know, our brand has extremely high awareness all throughout the Northeast. So, you know, Mohegan Sun Palmer will have a tremendous recognition immediately. We'll have a one-card program. Points will be able to be earned at both places where we can market synergistically from an advertising branding standpoint. We will. But, you know, those properties they will probably have separate owners. You know, Mohegan Sun is owned by the tribe. We will have a partner in Palmer. So we'll be very careful with some database fencing so everybody's comfortable with the way we operate that. But we think that you start with Mohegan Sun. You start with the number of names that we already have in our database that are reside in those areas. It really jumpstarts the project very well.
Are there any concerns about cannibalizing your own market?
Not really, because the fact is we believe that the synergy created by the combination outweigh any loss that we would get.
Mm-hmm. And finally, we have Pennsylvania.
Right.
There's been expansion on hold there. Has there been any movement on the hotel?
Well, the hotel deal, you know, we've been saying it for a long time. It's almost ready. It's almost ready, and it is. We've been really actually kind of waiting it while dealing with some refinancing we're working on now. We may proceed, but we have the plans drawn up. We have some approvals in place. We're just kind of waiting to pull the trigger. Bobby's very eager to get that hotel and to get some event space, and we're hoping to be able to deliver that to him very soon, but we haven't seen that for a while.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And finally, just your take on what's happening in Atlantic City and the tourism district, Revel opening. What's your take on the outlook?
Well, you know, I think that certainly Atlantic City has been under siege from all ends, from all potential competition. And at some point, I think it'll flatten out and things will start to improve. I don't think often people give credit to the good things that have happened in Atlantic City. Mm-hmm. They tend to focus on the bad things that will happen in Atlantic City. And they don't look at the things that have gotten done. They look at things that haven't gotten done. But there's a lot to work with here. Revel looks beautiful coming in. You know, if anybody can create a destination that can maybe change the face of Atlantic City, it's probably Kevin. Mm-hmm. But I think, to be real, I mean, there's going to be some limit as to the size of the market. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, it's going to seek its level. And then it's about how much more they can increase. Just like in Connecticut, we're focusing on trying to find pockets where we can find new sources of revenue. I think that's what Atlantic City is going to have to do. And how that exists is probably going to take an emotional change in terms of willingness to sell conventions, willingness to give rooms away from comps and put cash customers in there. Creating an environment that people want to come to and spend their time and take advantage of some of the new things that have been cleaned up and are nice. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily be as doom and gloom as some people are, but I don't think it's going to be an easy road. But I do think it's a road that can be maneuvered.
Okay, Mitchell, thank you very much for your
thank you.
Thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. If you want to learn more about the issues discussed today or anything about the gaming industry, visit our website at ggbmagazine.com. For weekly updates on the industry, subscribe to GGB News, the only weekly e-news magazine dedicated to the breaking news of the gaming business. To see a sample issue, visit ggbnews.com. That's it for today. Hope you enjoyed the interview, and we'll see you next week on the Global Gaming Business Podcast.